So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young here with you at Wrestling Weekly today. Les Thatcher, he's not going to be with us this first hour. He is right now in North Carolina at one of his training seminars for EPWT. That's EPWT.com. The Elite Pro Wrestling Training. So he's going to be back with us in the second hour. Joining me in the first hour right now is Wrestling Weekly staffer Jason Bourne. Jason, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Doc. Thanks for having me.
We got a big show today, Jason. We've got Sandman coming up. He's going to be coming up, and he's going to be talking about all kinds of good stuff, especially One Night Stand, the hardcore homecoming shows, and lots of other stuff.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Also, we've got coming up DDP, Diamond Dallas Page himself. He's going to be talking about his new book. It's called Yoga for Regular Guys, the best damn workout on the planet. That's coming up. He's also got a new movie coming out. We're going to find out more about that, and we're going to be taking your questions. So stick with us today. It's going to be a great show. Right now, Jason, let's get into some news. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. First, the top news story is WWE. They've made the decision to quietly drop the Cromwell White character, played by Chavo Guerrero. White's bio has been replaced on WWE.com by Chavo Guerrero's, and all the mention of White has been removed. Regarding his time on Raw, the bio simply states that he was traded to Raw at the 2005 draft lottery, and that in his short time on Raw, Chavo has continued to leave his mark, ably carrying the torch for his famous family.
Well, I kind of agree them dropping the Kerwin White moniker because the remembrance of Eddie Guerrero's death, I think it's nice to go back to his roots.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I was never a big fan of the Kerwin White character. We talked about that a lot on the show over the weeks. Les himself has made fun of, not so much made fun of it, but, you know, poor Chavo is basically how Les put it, having to deal with the Kerwin White character. You know, at least something good's come out of this whole thing.
Yeah, at least it gives him a chance to try something new, but I'm glad he's back to his old gimmick, Chavo Guerrero.
Absolutely. Nick Eugene Dinsmore was rushed to the hospital on Thursday night in Manchester, England, where the WWE is on tour. He has since been released from the hospital, sent home, and suspended indefinitely. WWE.com promises to have more details as they become available. It's a sad situation, especially you know, in light of what's happened in this last week, Jason.
Yeah, we don't want to lose another WWE superstar, so I hope everything's okay with him.
Absolutely. I don't want to speculate on what's going down, but somebody did tell PW Insider, a source told him that told them that when somebody gets put in the hospital and sent home and suspended, it's probably what you think it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Nick Eugene Dinsmore will, you know, clean himself up.
Yeah.
If that's what he needs to do.
Yeah, stay clean, because you don't want to have another accident like a lot of them. I mean, that's the road a lot of WWE superstars have taken lately.
Absolutely. Batista has reportedly decided that he will undergo physical therapy to heal his injury to his latissimus dorsi, which is the muscle in the upper back that connects under the arms. If this form of treatment is successful, Batista will be out for 4 to 6 weeks. Had Batista chosen surgery, he'd have been out for around 3 months. Have they even, you know, solve this Batista thing? What's going to happen with Batista and the title yet?
I think they're just going to throw the title up as vacant right now.
You think? You do?
That's what I think they're going to do with it.
I don't know. He's scheduled to be fighting Orton, I believe.
You never know. They might give it to Orton. They might just put up the vacant. You never know what's going on with this.
Now, in news that has to do with that, the plans for the Undertaker versus Randy Orton buried alive match for Survivor Series has been changed. Orton will now be the fifth member of SmackDown Survivor Series team to take on Raw. The match will now be Randy Orton, JBL, Rey Mysterio, Batista, and Bobby Lashley versus Shawn Michaels, Chris Masters, Carlito, Kane, and The Big Show. The Undertaker will probably be making a return sometime in the near future in a bigger role than initially planned due to Batista's injury. Nah. That's kind of hinting at maybe Undertaker might take the title?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, Undertaker's been away from the business. He's making his cameos once in a while, so they might bring him back for a full-time spot. You never know.
Yeah, and the scheduled street fight between Randy Orton and Batista for the next SmackDown has been changed to a no-holds-barred match. So you never know what's going to happen with the title, and that's part of the good part about wrestling is, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of speculation, and you can make a lot of good educated guesses as far as what's going on, but in the end, it could go on to anybody.
Yeah. But as of late, though, that Bobby Lashley, though, I am impressed by him. What about you, Doc?
Bobby Lashley is, I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but I really don't think he's ready yet.
Well, he's still green, but as a specimen, he is impressive.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. He has the look, but he's going to need a little bit more work on the fundamentals and things like that. I kind of think that he might have been brought up a little bit too early, but that's just my own opinion.
Yes, I totally agree. He could use one more year in OVW.
TNA sources have denied rumors that Vince Russo will soon be making a return to the company in a creative position. These same sources denied rumors that Jeff Jarrett had replaced Scott D'Amore on the creative team. Rumors that D'Amore had been replaced stem from D'Amore opening a sports bar in Windsor, Ontario. Those who spread the rumors may have believed that D'Amore would not have time to be part of the creative team while running a sports bar. However, D'Amore has employees running the bar while he is working with TNA. Scott D'Amore on the creative team, and Vince Russo coming back. Oh, my God. What would happen if Vince Russo came back again?
Who knows? I mean, he's a creative genius and more worth than one, but I thought he retired. I mean, how many times is this guy going to come back? That's my question.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be coming back this time. Well, like they said, you know, TNA's denying the rumors, but I don't see him coming back at all anyway. He's pretty happy with his new life. He's born-again Christian. He's doing a religious radio show now. Over at fantalklive.com, and I think he's pretty happy doing what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't think he'll come back anytime soon, at least not that I've heard of in any reports.
Yeah, now, former AWA Women's Champion Penny Banner has been diagnosed with cancer of the peritoneum, which holds the intestines together. She's going to be operated on Friday, November 25th, when the surgeons will remove the masses and send them to pathology to determine the extent of her cancer. We at Wrestling Weekly do extend our prayers to Penny Banner. We do wish her the best. She's been a guest on the show before, and she's a great lady, and she's a great friend of old Les Thatcher.
Yeah.
And it's a really sad story. Mm-hmm. Moving on. It was announced on last night's UFC pay-per-view that the former WWE Intercontinental and NWA Heavyweight Champion Ken Shamrock and rival Tito Ortiz, who's been used on TNA recently, will be opposing coaches for the third season of The Ultimate Fighter on Spike TV. Now, that's going to be a good season. I enjoyed the first season. Did you watch any of that, Jason?
Yes, I actually watched a little bit, but having the loose cannon there is... trainer, that's going to be great to watch.
Yeah, I think Ken Shamrock's more of a loose cannon than Tito, if you ask me, but...
I do agree.
It's going to be very interesting, and I did enjoy the first season, especially that part where they all got drunk in the house, and they tore up the house, and that dude punched a hole in the wall.
Punched a hole through the wall.
I mean, that was entertaining.
Now that's reality.
That is reality. But no, I enjoyed that season. The second season just kind of went, it was kind of ho-hum to me. But bringing Ken Shamrock in and Tito Ortiz, stroke of genius. These guys will be back. And I think the ratings will go up for the third season. Because
oh, definitely.
I know I'm going to be more interested in watching it now.
I'll have my popcorn ready.
Former WWE head referee Earl Hebner announced yesterday at FanSlam that he and his brother, Dave Hebner, will be writing a book about their careers that they say will clear up any false stories regarding their departure. During a Q&A session at yesterday's FanSlam convention in New Jersey, Earl Hebner blamed their WWE release on current management regime under Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis. So no blame on Vince for his firing at all. It was all Johnny Ace, says Dave Hebner.
Yeah, that's what I read in the report. He's talking about the new creative team, but I heard a different story on that. But we won't go into it on this time.
Okay. You guys got to stick around. We got a great show coming up for you. DDP on the way. The book is called Yoga for Regular Guys, the best damn workout on the planet. The Sandman coming up in just a little bit. Get your questions ready. We are going to take questions from the chat room. That's what we do on the show, Jason.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
We take questions from the chat room, and you can actually ask your questions, and you can hear them being brought up in the conversation. Now, that's kind of cool.
So if you're in the chat room right now, think your questions, because we want them.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we're going to have Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four newsletter. He is going to be bringing up the hot topic for this week, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Doc Young and Jason Bourne here on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around. We are going to be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Doc Young, Jason Bourne, back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Right now on the line from the Figure Four newsletter, it's Brian Alvarez. Brian, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
What's the hot topic this week, Brian?
Well, I think obviously the hot topic would have to be Eddie Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
It's I guess you guys talked about it with Bruce last week, last Sunday.
Yes, we did. That was just a few hours after, you know, he had passed away, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was something that affected, you know, the whole entire week, and I think it's going to actually probably keep affecting the business for quite a while. This was a big one, so, yeah, it's quite the week.
Yeah, it really has been. And the autopsy report came back on Monday, actually, which was, or Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, which was actually pretty quick.
Well, these aren't the official reports. This was just the report from his wife, who would probably talk to the coroner. The official results probably will be several weeks away. And for all I know, they may just seal them. So we may never actually know any more than we know now, which was that it was what most people figured as soon as the news came down, which was the heart failure.
Right.
Which really has struck a lot of guys, and it's a regular, maybe regular is not the right word, but it's no surprise when a wrestler under 40 dies that it ends up being the same situation, the enlarged heart. And, you know, Eddie lived a very, very rough life, and it caught up with him.
Absolutely, I gotta agree with you on that, Jason.
I'd have to totally agree. I mean, he's fought a lot of demons, and for this to happen after he's cleaned himself up is just a tragedy.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, they've been talking a lot about the 4 years of sobriety and everything, and I mean, 4 years of sobriety is not going to undo many, many years of non-sobriety and much, much harder things. And the heart can only take so much, and that was that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case, and really haven't seen. I really haven't seen a case of somebody that I knew, you know, that was sober for so long and cleaned himself up, and you know, still it was too late anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's been a big argument on the internet the past week. I mean, it's really exploded, the entire steroid and drug situation in pro wrestling, and you know, people are very passionate about it. And I think the thing with Eddie is, you know, if he had never taken a steroid in his entire life, this probably would have happened, you know, at some point. He probably was still going to go early just because of everything else that he did. And I think that's one of the keys when looking at the debate is there are people that are going to passionately argue that steroids will eventually kill you, and there are people that are going to passionately argue that steroids are absolutely harmless. And the answer is really in that gray area where there are guys who are going to be on steroids for their entire lives and live to be very, very old. And there are guys that will take one cycle and die. And part of that is just everybody's different. Everybody's body is different. And how you react to any drug, you know, it's not universal. And I think the real key is that a lot of these early heart enlargement deaths have been guys that weren't just steroid users. They were guys that did a whole cornucopia of different substances.
Mm.
And I think that that's one of the keys there. And, you know, the arguments about what you should be able to do and what you shouldn't be able to do and what the solution would be. I mean, if there were an easy solution, there wouldn't be a problem. That's the whole sole point. There's not an easy solution. And it comes down to a whole lot more than Vince McMahon snapping his fingers and saying, I'm going to drug test all of you. Because he tried that before. There were still guys attempting to get around it. And one of the major points is that I think that some people have this idea that Vince McMahon or any other promoter would hold a gun to people's heads and say, you've got to take this. And not even so much saying you've got to take this, but just based on who's pushed and who is not, that guys are basically forced to do this. And the thing is that there are a lot of wrestlers where you would have to put a gun to their head to get them off whatever they're on.
Right.
I mean, there's way more to this than just guys thinking, if I take steroids, I'll be a top guy. There's way more to it than that.
Hey, you used to be a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Did you see a lot of this?
On the indie scene, it's a little bit different. The indie scene, you see a lot of the guys that, you know, they just want to be in pro wrestling, and they know they're not going to ever get anywhere. And so, you know, they don't even work out. I knew guys that didn't work out. I knew guys that didn't watch wrestling on TV. I mean, you just had the whole, just sometimes the bottom of the barrel on indie pro wrestling. And everybody who's been in an indie show knows what I'm talking about. But
right.
You did have the guys that they did want to go somewhere, and they did have aspirations. And that was one of the things that they thought was, well, I need to get on the juice. I need to get bigger. And that's what they did. And some of them actually did go places because of that. And, you know, there is something to the fact that if you don't have a certain look, you're probably going to be overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's something to that. But, you know, there also have been the guys that have made it. And, you know, the Bubba Ray Dudleys, the Mick Foleys, who absolutely in no way had that. But they were also special. So it's tough. And I think that, you know, a lot of people will just point out that this is the pro wrestling business, and you sort of know what you're going to get into. And nobody should be surprised, and everybody lives their own life, and there are other things to do in this world if it's not going to work out for you in pro wrestling. So.
Right. You're listening to Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter here on Wrestling Weekly. Brian, I got to ask you a question. We were talking. You were just speaking about the steroids and the situation in WWE Indies, things like that. But was there any indication that Eddie's death might have had anything to do with steroids, or is there any indication that Eddie might have ever done steroids?
Well, you know, his wife, when she was talking about the autopsy report, when she was talking about his enlarged heart, you know, she said, He worked out a lot. He worked out very hard, and you know, his heart grew,
mm-hmm.
and it led to this. And you know, there are millions and millions of people that work out, and their heart does not grow. And in fact, when Davey Boy Smith died, I wrote something about the enlarged heart and steroids, and it got picked up by, God, I forget his name, but he writes about bodybuilding and fitness. And he went off, like, oh, no, you know, nobody's ever died of an enlarged heart. And I got all sorts of weird letters from people defending steroid use. And I even had the guy that actually said, well, when you run on the treadmill, your heart enlarges. And I thought, okay, so you run on the treadmill and your heart gets so big that you die under 40. Something is not right here. And David Way Smith's coroner basically said it was enlarged heart, steroids. And he pretty much outright said it. So, but like I said earlier, I mean, you know, there are guys that have taken steroids for a long, long time and not died. So, you know, whether Eddie did or not, the fact is that it was other things in his life that I'm sure contributed to him dying.
Right, and there are a lot of people that abused drugs for years and years and never died, too.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different. But I think that I would not say that steroids killed Eddie. They may have played a factor. In fact, they probably did play a factor. The autopsy report is not back, so, of course, there's no, you know, confirmation that of what was in the system. But, you know, it's pretty much what everybody is figuring. It was a combination of many different things.
Yes, absolutely. Jason, you quiet over there.
I was just thinking it could be actually he was, I heard, taking painkillers. I don't know if that could be effect of taking too many painkillers.
Well, we've had a lot of different wrestlers actually on our radio show this week talking about the situation. And, you know, they basically said that there's a lot of stuff that goes into being a pro wrestler, and pain pills are part of that. But the pain pills are more, you know, you're dealing with a lot of different things. You're dealing with taking bumps. You're dealing with stress. You're trying to recover. And I would not point to pain pills as being a contributing factor in an enlarged heart. I don't think it has anything to do with it. Mm. But they're part of the larger overall picture. And they're a way to kind of take away a little bit of the stress. And stress is going to play a role. The drugs are going to play a role if you happen to be doing those, the steroids, and it all just really adds up. But I wouldn't say that pain pills would mainly be a contributing factor to a heart attack.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, I want you to pimp some of your stuff. You write for the Figure Four Weekly newsletter.
Yeah, if you get a chance, check out f4wonline.com. That's our website. We've got news updates. We've got TV reviews, all sorts of things. And of course, we also do the Figure Four Daily Radio Show, which I talked about a little bit earlier, but interview a lot of wrestlers and talk about the news and that sort of thing. And all that's available at f4wonline.com. And in a couple of hours, we'll actually be up on the Observer Live Show.
Yes.
At WrestlingObserver.com, so you can check that out there.
That's right after we go off the air, WrestlingObserver.com.
Cool.
All right. Brian, I want to thank you for being on Hot Topic this week.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
All right, see you guys.
All right.
Bye.
Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter here on Wrestling Weekly. It's Doc Young and Jason Bourne with you here on Wrestling Weekly. Jason, we've got an interview to do now.
Yeah, Sandman will be on the show, and I just can't wait.
Sandman is coming up here on Wrestling Weekly. We're going to take a quick break while we call Sandman. And get your questions ready. We're going to take some questions in the chat room and ask them to Sandman live for you. And we're going to be talking about a lot of good stuff, including One Night Stand, the ECW Hardcore, I can't say ECW Hardcore Homecoming shows, the Hardcore Homecoming shows. I don't want to get sued. And lots of other stuff coming up on Wrestling Weekly. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Doc Young and Jason Bourne here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les is going to be back and joining us in the second hour, but right now we've got our guest on the line. His name is the Sandman, and Sandman, I want to thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly today.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Yeah, thanks for being on.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, what you been up to lately?
We only had some months, like a week in Europe, a week in Puerto Rico, a week in Japan, something like that last month. I just got off a plane from Pittsburgh.
So you're
I'm laying down watching Indianapolis and Cincinnati play.
You're all over the place. Who's winning that game right now, anyway?
I think it's 35-28 still. No, Indianapolis just scored. Again, so it's, it might be like 38-27.
Who are you rooting for today?
I want Cincinnati to win.
Yeah.
All right, just to
I heard that.
Just to make things a little bit closer, especially in the division.
Absolutely, you got a good point there. So we've got a lot of questions for you. We want to talk about the ECW. I was going to get into ECW One Night Stand, but I do want to talk about Hardcore Homecoming first and how you're enjoying those.
I actually only did the one. I didn't do the second one. I did the first one. I worked with Raven, you know, and the Meanie and the guy with the sword or whatever. I forget what his name was, but it was fun. But it was good to see so many people I haven't seen in a while.
Absolutely. How about that One Night Stand?
Same thing. I'm working with the Dudleys and Dreamer, and like 14 run-ins of all my friends. You know, it's just having fun.
Absolutely. They contacted you about getting on the One Night Stand. Did you have any trouble as far as?
Dreamer called me over a 1 minute discussion. And it was a done deal.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have any trouble from the other side not wanting you to do the show or anything like that?
No. I make my decisions, nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about celebrating with Stone Cold in the middle of the ring?
It was okay.
Okay.
He's just a worker.
We're going to get to some questions from the chat room. Do want to ask you about, have you been watching any TNA lately? You used to work over there.
I know absolutely nothing about any wrestling that's going on anywhere except what I'm doing.
Except what you're doing?
I haven't watched WWE in months. I haven't watched TNA in a year and a half.
Wow.
I know nothing about this business.
You still talk to any of your friends out there?
Yeah, I talk to Raven.
Raven?
Raven, Fonzie, Todd Gordon every day.
Todd Gordon?
Yeah.
What kind of guy is he?
Great guy. He's my best friend.
He's one of your best friends?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're tight. We've been tight for 10 years.
That's impressive.
We were more than 10, probably more like 12, 13. We have a birthday party. We're born on the same day, so we have a birthday party together every year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I want to ask you, has the WWE ever been in touch with you about bringing you in?
No.
And for some more questions to come up in the chat room. We are talking to the Sandman here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Get your questions ready for the Sandman and type them into the chat room. We'll be asking them for you live here on Wrestling Weekly. So what do you have coming up as far as dates?
I don't know. I think like in New York this weekend, San Francisco the next weekend, and then North Carolina the weekend after that. And then maybe Puerto Rico or Japan.
So you're
sometime maybe after New Year's. I got to take off probably between like the 10th and and New Year's Day or the week after New Year's, something like that.
And where
you nobody like that? Nobody really runs that anyway, you know what I mean? I mean, if it was a one-shot deal on like the 17th or something like that, I'd probably do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody runs on that. Then you're a knucklehead to run a show then.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Vince.
James Z wants to know if you enjoyed your stay in the UK wrestling for 1PW.
Oh, yeah. I hung out with Alex Shane and Veronica all the time, two friends of mine. So, you know, I had a great time.
Kick Me in the Heel is this guy's name in the chat room. And he wants to know how you got into wrestling and why.
I was 4 years old. I wanted to be a professional wrestler. And then a guy named Joel Goodhart started an indie promotion around Philadelphia. I went to one of his shows, and I was like, you know what? I can do this. A couple days later, he started a wrestling school, and 3 months later, I had my first match.
What kind of job did you have while you were training to be a wrestler?
I was doing some of the newspaper business, probably making between like $75,000 and $100,000 a year.
But
you know what I mean? So I didn't really need to have wrestling be my income, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But
who did train you?
Larry Winters. Pretty much Little Johnny, Hot Body, Rock and Rebel. I mean, guys, you know, just going over moves and stuff like that. But it's really not the moves. It's everything else you do.
What kind of wrestling did you watch growing up? Did you watch
strictly WWE until 1978 when they got cable around my neighborhood, and then I was watching TBS 605, 805 every Saturday.
Did you have any heroes growing up?
Nah, not really. I just loved wrestling. Maybe Superstar Billy Graham. Dusty.
Yeah, he's good.
Not really heroes, but just guys that I liked in the business, you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. Have you had any thoughts of working for Ring of Honor at all?
Yeah, if they call me.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't contacted me. I'm not going to call them.
Right. What's your favorite memory from ECW?
That's too many. There's not just one, there's a million of them.
Mm-hmm.
So were you excited about being able to fight Don Morocco?
I won my first belt for Morocco. Yeah, well, yeah. Because I like Morocco. Yeah, I forgot to. I liked Morocco, too, when I was younger. So, yeah, it was cool winning my first belt off him.
Mm-hmm.
That was Todd Gordon's idea.
EL wants to know, is there anyone in WWE that you would most like to wrestle?
No. No, I don't know. I don't even know who's there.
Mm-hmm. Lawson says, who in ECW knew about the crucifixion angle before it occurred?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Except me. Nobody except me, Paul, and me, Paul, Raven, and Todd.
The Keith wants to know, he said, I recently bought the Forever Hardcore documentary DVD. Have you seen the final product, and do you think it came out well and honest?
No, I have not. I have no idea what he's talking about.
You haven't seen the Forever Hardcore?
No, I don't know. I've never seen it. Why do you assume that I should have seen it?
Because you're in it.
Yeah, but I haven't seen 90% of the shit I've done. I haven't. If I had 800 matches, I might have seen 100 of them
mm-hmm.
on tape or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I came across it, if I was at somewhere and I came across it, like when I did the thing at Valley Forge, and my seven-year-old was with me and he wanted it, yeah, then I would buy it. But just for myself, I wouldn't go out and get it.
Mm-hmm. Are you like his hero as far as wrestlers?
Well, yeah, no. It's because I'm his dad.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nothing to do with wrestling.
No.
Well, my best friend.
Is he really into wrestling?
Yeah. Yeah, he's into it. But like the other one, Ty, he was in there when he was younger, and then he's 15 my size right now. The kid in the Raven angle that we used, he's bigger than me now, my son. So he don't even care a damn thing about wrestling. So the other one will probably go out of it.
Probably.
Is there anybody you would like to fight before you retire?
Nah, I've never really thought about it.
You wouldn't want to get back in the ring?
I just like going into work. It's not like having to work against a certain person, you know?
You wouldn't want to get back in the ring with Jerry Lawler?
That would be fun. Yeah. Lawler taught me a lot when I first went down to Memphis. I mean, he taught me a real lot, just how to, like, relax in the ring and stuff like that. I did do something with him. I did work with him in Florida maybe a year ago. Now, you know what? I did something for Court Bowers organization. And I got him and Funk to agree to tag the next month that we were in Orlando or whatever. So yeah, it was fun being in the ring with him again.
So when you
forgot that I had done it.
You were down in Florida. You had the Future of Wrestling Hardcore title off Barry Horowitz.
Davey Arena.
Mm-hmm.
On a run at Super. I didn't even have a match. I think I just ran in and won off of him for what reason, I don't know. I don't need the belt. What the heck did I need with the belt? I told that guy that.
Did you ever have any trouble? Like, did anybody ever tell you that they didn't want you to smoke in the ring or drink any beer in the ring? Because you were the first guy that did this kind of thing.
Nah, but every once in a while you get told things that are goofy about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe one out of 20 shows, I'll have a problem with it. But I'm walking around smoking in the building a pack before I even go to the ring. So
right.
What's the difference when I go there, you know? I mean, you always sit in the locker room smoking or something.
Russell fan wants to know, what do you think of people saying that Stone Cold stole your gimmick?
I think it's totally false. What we do are two totally different things. He drinks a beer after the match. I smash cans on my head and bleed before I go into the ring.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally different thing.
So you don't think he's like you at all?
No. I think he stole anything from me. What was I, the first one to use a kendo stick? So should I steal that from Tojo Yamamoto from 1969?
Yes.
Or there was probably even somebody before that.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You're always doing somebody else's stuff.
Patman wants to know, he said, what did you think of working with UK wrestler Alex Shane last Saturday?
Oh, great work with him. Yeah, he's a great guy, too. I stayed at his house for, like, I don't know, maybe like 36 hours, maybe 48 hours, something like that. Besides being on the show with him Sunday night, Saturday night, Friday night, you know, we just hung out every night together. Him and Luscious. That's the Veronica I was referring to earlier. She's living with him.
And you're going to be at the Queen City Clash in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yeah, it's in Charlotte. Well, I think it's the 10th or the 4th, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be to benefit cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, I think I'm working Justin, too. I was talking to him earlier. So that'll be fun.
So are you making a good living in the independents right now?
Not so much in the States, but out of the States, yeah. You make money in Japan, you make money in Europe.
How are the crowds different from as far as the United States compared to Japan?
In Japan, they don't pop like mad. They'll clap vigorously.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go wild. That's the only difference.
Do you feel like they appreciate the
wrestling? Absolutely. They wouldn't pay their money if they didn't.
Well, yeah, you got a point.
So how did you feel about changing your name to Hardcore Hack in your WCW debut?
Yeah, it wasn't my debut. My debut, they didn't come out with a name for me because that was my idea, because they didn't want to use the Sandman because the lawyers were there. They were worried they would get sued by, like, the comic book and some guy, Sandman, like a rock horn in California or something like that. Even though I owned the name, but they still didn't care. So I said, listen, don't give me a name. Act like I'm taking over the show. I'm trying to think. I'm putting, like, my toggles in my head. What would Todd do? So I'm like, I'll make it as best as I can. I could look like I'm trying to take over the show that they don't know who I am. And then Nash, me, and Raven were playing chess the next Monday night, and Nash came up to me and he goes, yo, we need a name for it. I said, how about Hack? He goes, all right, Hardcore Hack. Literally, 10-second conversation.
So do you still talk to your valet, Chastity, that used to walk down to the ring with you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I haven't talked to her in years.
Was it your idea for you to drink beer and smoke coming through the crowd? Or
Mine or Todd Gordon's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not really sure exactly. Probably Todd's.
Maybe
50-50, both of us.
Lawson in the chat room wants to know if you think that you were the one that started the anti-hero run of the late 90s.
Yeah, maybe. I don't technically look at that, but I can see how people could look at it like that.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the...
Because when I was doing it, I didn't know I was doing it, because I was still green.
Right.
You know, I didn't know what I know today, 16 years in the business. But 8 years ago or so, whatever, you know, I was doing it, but I didn't know I was doing it, so...
I think one of the defining moments and one of my favorite promos is the promo that you gave after you won the ECW world title, when you had said that, go home and tell your kids that your new champion smokes and drinks and kicks ass. You remember this?
No.
You don't remember this promo? Oh, my God.
Oh, no. You know how drunk I was at that point? That was probably that was 3 o'clock in the morning after. I was always last doing promos. That could have been 5 o'clock in the morning at that point by the time I cut that promo. So I had been drinking for probably, and it was on a Saturday night, Friday. I'd probably been drinking for 48 hours at that point.
That was an amazing promo, though.
Yeah, so I don't remember any of them promos. Because I was always last. I was loaded, totaled.
Lawson says, who drank more at ECW, you, James Mitchell, or Raven?
You put all of them together and they didn't drink what I did.
Are you a NASCAR fan, says Rubber Duck?
Yeah, I was just looking at I don't know what happened in the race today, but Tony Stewart was winning by like 52 points over Jimmy Johnson until that race today, and I don't know what happened in the race.
Kick Me in the Heel has a question. He says, Sandman.
But I'm not really technically a big NASCAR fan, but I like to know a little bit about everything, so.
Right.
I read the Sports Illustrated every article, whether I really like it or not, you know. Yeah. If somebody wants to talk about it, I can talk about it.
Kick me in the heels, says Sandman. Who are your best friends in the business?
Todd Gordon. That's about it. Really good friends like Sabu, Justin Credible, Scotty, like Fonzie, you know.
Batman asks if you can drink Scott Hall under the table.
You know what? I haven't really gotten a chance to. We had been on the same shows before, but we didn't really get a chance to hang out with each other. But, yeah, they could give it a shot. He's a great guy. He's real funny.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy. I liked him a lot a couple times he was in ECW.
Awesome. Excellent. We're running out of time, and I do want to thank you for coming on, answering the fans' questions, and just showing up.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, guys. Really peace him out.
Bye-bye, Sandman.
Thanks.
All right. That's the Sandman here on Wrestling Weekly, guys, answering all your questions and doing it like only the Sandman can. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and lead you into this next hour here on Wrestling Weekly right after this. Don't go anywhere, guys.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Doc Young and Jason Bourne back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. You heard from the Sandman before the break. It was a different interview, but it was very good. Sandman pulls no punches, and he just, you know, straight up answers he answers shortly, but he answers the questions that you have, and that's what he did.
Well, there's nothing non-hardcore about that interview, Doc.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to say goodbye to you, Jason. You do, of course, reporting here at Wrestling Weekly, and we're going to see some more news, hopefully, from you soon. Hint, hint.
Yes.
You've been on a mini vacation lately, Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all he has to say.
Something like that, Doc. But it has been a pleasure being on the show.
All right, we're going to get Les back on the air, and we'll see you down the road, Jason.
All right, thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, Les is coming back. We're going to hear how his weekend went. And we've got, of course, still to come, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, here on Wrestling Weekly. We're going to be right back after this. Doc Young, Les Thatcher, and Jason Bourne here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Somebody's mic is up. Okay.
And Doc Young talking to himself.
I heard some beeping noise. I didn't know if that was my line.
That's my radar detector.
Oh, okay. It threw me off.
You should get, if you want to do this right, when I'm doing a road, on the road, you should get Willie Nelson's on the road again or something.
Yeah, we should.
Play it.
We'll have to get some of that kind of music to put on there. So we were talking about, during the break, we were talking about some of the news that's been going down, especially with Penny Banner. And it's a cancer of the peritoneum.
Okay, I have no idea either. But whatever the case, sweet lady. I mean, she really is. That's such a shame. I worked a lot of mixed tags with her, and we used to travel together some out in the Carolinas, and of course she and her husband were together. You know, I've been to their home and everything, and legitimately one of the best female workers, that I've been around in my entire career. So and a certified legend, no doubt about it. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that. I think we've lost enough quality people in the last week. I will throw out here, since I haven't talked to anybody since last Sunday, on Monday night I went through a half a box of Kleenex, and it was stirring, to say the least.
Yeah.
Stirring, to say the least. Well, I thought well done.
Absolutely.
Very well done, you know. You were mentioning Eugene.
Yes.
And that, I can't, you have no idea what this is all about, except that he is suspended indefinitely, right?
Right.
Which, when I say this, amazes me, because that guy I've known, you know, almost virtually since he started.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't even imagine.
What do you attribute all this to?
I don't know. Well, you know, life on the road is, I mean, seriously, you know, I'm not making excuses here. I'm just stating facts. You're out there, your body clock is probably cranked. You see these cartoon pictures of the hands on a clock spinning around and maybe backwards.
Right.
That's, well, you know, realize how many time zones these guys have crossed, you know, and then back and forth. And, a lot of times you're traveling after a show in one place, you know, you might be out all night, you know, get in someplace else when you see the sun come up, and then you've got to try to catch sleep during the day. And then, on all these shows, especially the televisions, these guys have got to be in the building at noon, you know, and don't get out of there until sometimes midnight. So, you know, it's a grind. I mean, legitimately, it is a grind. But I wish Nick or Eugene well, because I really, really like this kid. He is, just a good kid. I used him when he was one of the first guys out of OVW that I made use of and was very impressed. Well, he and Rob Conway, along with Doug Basham, were probably the first three solid talents that Danny Davis handled. And, you know, I just can't even imagine. But I hope whatever it is, it gets straightened out. And I hope he gets back in gear.
Yeah, absolutely. So how's your weekend been?
Not bad. We ran a training camp Friday, Saturday, and then we finished it up today. A celebrity of sorts, I would guess, at the camp, Caprice Coleman, who has worked for Wildside and also Ring of Honor. I met Caprice actually last month out in Tulsa for CWE. Got to spend 3 days with him, classy young man, and a real good talent. But we had a good turnout, had a good time. And the show on Friday night, Spindale, got to see Ivan Koloff, who I haven't seen in a while. Luger was there. There was Steiner, Midnight Express, and it's been a good time. We've had a very good time, and we're headed for home. We are on I-40 West. Just coming in the Smokies, headed for Knoxville. So, again, play that Willie Nelson song. And
when do you think you'll be home?
A lot later than I would hope. Take my word for it.
Yeah.
It's almost 7:30, maybe midnight.
Wow.
Between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
See, yeah.
How come you don't take a plane?
The reason down here is we came down to my mother-in-law's early, you know, before we had, and then we went into Charlotte to our daughters and the granddaughters. And Papa got to play Chuck E. Cheese for 2.5 hours the other day, which was the highlight of my week.
Yeah.
And I told my wife when we left, I said, if I had to run this place 8 hours a day, I'd probably get called for mass murder.
Yeah. Did you see any diamonds in the rough out there when you were training?
A couple kids, you know, showing some promise. And now, of course, I start to say next week, but actually it's 10 days. Roughly, Doc and I will be, not the Doc Young, but Dr. Tom, and I will be in West Liberty, Kentucky, for Retro Wrestling Alliance, for a camp. And then we're coming back here to Spindale. Some point, the dates aren't set for North Carolina yet, but we'll be here in February. It will work around, and we're going back out for CWE in February for not just a show, but Doc and I will be doing a 2-day camp out there as well. So we're starting to book into next year. But I'll tell you the truth, I've been out for 10 days this time, and the old man will be happy to get home.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we do this? Let's bid our adieu to Jason. Jason.
Well, we should have included you, Jason. Don't be bashful. Don't be a shrinking violet.
Oh, I'm trying not to.
Let's bid our adieu to Jason, and let's go ahead and get Diamond Dallas Page on the line.
And, let's do it.
Let's get the interview done.
All right. Jason, pleasure talking to you.
Nice talking to you also, Les.
All right, Jason, I want to thank you for being on the show this week. It's been fun. Mm-hmm. And at night, you can tell all your friends that you were on Wrestling Weekly.
I'll do that, Doc. Thanks a lot.
Did you charge him for being on, Doc?
No, not this time. The first one's free. Just like a drug dealer, first one's free, and then you got paid.
Well, whoops. Don't start that. The next thing you'll see on the sheets is that...
Doc's a drug dealer.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a break, guys. We're going to be right back with Diamond Dallas Page here on Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Diamond Dallas Page. Dallas, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, it's your pleasure.
It absolutely is.
You know what, Doc? You might call him Mr. Entrepreneur. Page, you've got, the thing you did with the reading deal for the kids, you're doing movies, and now you've got a book coming out, and I just, before we went on the air, I called it yoga, but you said you don't. What do you call it?
Well, actually, it's yoga-based, because anything that's like, there's so many different types of yoga. There's Ashtanga and Anusara and Power Yoga, and they keep yoga at, I mean, it's ridiculous how many, especially in the Western world. And, you know, to me, you know, I was one of those guys who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga, okay? Because
right.
I don't think, everybody's seen me on TV for 15 years. I'm about as, you know, I mean, I'm not a regular guy because I'm a three-time world champion. But I am a regular guy, because I was the guy who was sitting on his couch at 35 and a half years old when they just let me go from being a manager at WCW, and I was a color commentator. And my dream, next guy to retire, you know, I'm out of that color commentator spot, you know? So my
right.
dream's over. So at that point, I take the regular guy who's sitting on the couch, working out occasionally, getting older, I'm 35 and a half years old, I say, you know what? I'm going to go after my 8-year-old childhood dream, and I'm going to become a wrestler. And everybody laughed their ass off at it, and you know that, Les.
Okay.
You know, everybody laughed at me. Everyone said it couldn't be done. The bottom line is that day I put my regular guy status on the side and tried to become the best that I could be, but to always still be a regular guy. So, I mean, I found many ways to hold back the hands of time, whether it was icing my body, whether it was deep muscle massage therapy, chiropractic, kinesiology. I mean, you, Matt, any way I could find starting to be a wrestler at 35 and a half years old. I never thought I'd wrestle past 40. It was Brian Pillman who said to me, are you out of your mind? You're going to wrestle into your 50s. Are you nuts? I go, no way, man. He goes, trust me. With the way you are, I know you. You will be. So Pillman was really one of my first fans. That's why me and him became so close, because we had a mutual respect for each other. And he was one of the first of the boys to actually respect what I was trying to do. And, I did, soar to greater heights than anybody ever dreamed that I would, even really including myself, you know. But when I was in 1998, when I was on top of the world, you know, I was wrestling in one main event after another. And I just got done doing the Malone thing with Rodman and Hogan, which was, you know, we shot that angle on the Tonight Show, and I just got done doing the thing with Jay Leno against Hogan and Rodman. And your hardcore wrestling fan will always go, oh, God, Jay Leno's not a wrestler? Really? No kidding. He's an entertainer. But all that spot in the, you know, in the Tyson stuff that Steve did, you know, all that stuff gave wrestling a really, like, not just a mainstream presence, you know? And so I'm doing all that stuff at 42 years old. I'm on top of the world.
Mm.
And I rupture my L4 and L5 so badly that I literally couldn't get out of bed. So I'd go in to see all the doctors. That was my first really significant injury. I tore both rotator cuffs, healed them, rehabbed them back. I tore my knee out, rehabbed it. We had the back. I was on a roll at that point. We're not getting hurt for about 4 years. And I was, like, blessed. I mean, I was hurt all the time. But they used to have a little status report the trainers that would have a status report that would have like a, you know, shoulder injury for, you know, for picking a Benoit. You know, he was never hurt either. But but you know, pick a guy and there was an injury. Under me, it's checked all of the above. He's hurting everywhere. Yeah. But I kept going, and then I finally, you know, you put the straw camel's back. And my wife, Kimberly, had been trying, my ex-wife now, but we're still best friends. She was trying to get me to do yoga for the longest time, and I was like, I'm not doing that crap. It's for girls. Actually, F that is what I said, and they quoted that in the Wall Street Journal. If you did not read that article in the Wall Street Journal on yoga for regular guys, it's on my site, DiamondDallasPage.com. You got to go read that because it's the greatest endorsement ever. So in the big picture, I started doing yoga at some point in time, about 2 years ago, really 3 years ago, I started reinventing it, just like I did Diamond Dallas Page. And I reinvented it, and what YRG, Yoga Regular Guys, YRG is my brand name, like Exxon, you know, or Amco, or whatever. YRG. YRG gives you energy. I was working in Switzerland, and the greatest young flyer on the planet right now, Styles. AJ Styles says to me, Diamond, you've been working out for 2 hours. How are you going to go out there and have a match? I said, dude, this stuff doesn't blow me up. I'm constantly burning fat the whole time, but I'm keeping my body warm and loose and ready to go. I'm not 24. I'm 49. You know, big difference. You know, and he was blown away by how YRG gives you energy. It gives you flexibility. It gives you stability because it's all about core strength. But most of all and most importantly, it gives you longevity. What I did was combine yoga with old-school calisthenics, push-ups, squats, crunches, with slow-motion isometric movements. I don't do any other workout anymore. The only thing I do is do extensions for my legs and hamstrings for my hamstring curls for my knees. That's the only thing, because I found out after 3 months I was having knee problems. And even though I could still do all my YRG stuff, my knee was, it would tweak easier. So I went back in the gym for my knees, but that's it. Because my upper body, I do slow motion isometric push-ups. You know, for the beginners, I just do 3, 2, 1, hold it there for 3 inches off the ground. Then you push up 3, 2, 1. And then you come down 3, 2, 1, then you hold 3, 2, 1. Try that. When I'm doing it myself, I'm doing 10. Hold 10, lift 10. Now, that's a whole different world. And you throw 6 of those into your workout while you're doing it. My heart rate, man, I was in a triangle position, which means my legs are spread, you know, just halfway. I got my left hand on my ankle, my right hand in the air. My heart rate was 137.
Wow.
Now, if you just do that, it's not going to be there. But if you go through the form that I have set up with this Yoga for Regular Guys, this YRG program, you do not have to be on a Stairmaster stepping to nowhere or on a treadmill walking to nowhere. Or, God forbid, you're over 35 and you're out on the cement running. And maybe you're running to a particular spot, but that bang, bang, bang on your knees and your hips, it's all going to catch up to you. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things, Dallas, that I tell a lot of these kids that are trying to dump weight, too, especially I was working with this past weekend with a kid in the 300-plus range, and I said, you know, you'll rip your knees to pieces over the long haul. At least, I mentioned him power walking, opposed, you know, because the bouncing on his hip joints and knees trying to jog at that body weight is just going to tear him down in the long haul.
Oh, absolutely, especially when you got that much weight on you.
Yeah.
You know what? If you go to DiamondDallasPage.com, I've got a couple success stories on there. And one of them is Lee Marshall. Everybody knows who Lee Marshall is. He's ever watched wrestling. One of the greatest announcers for the greatest voices. You know, I wouldn't, you know, say he's, you know, Jim Ross, but he's a great announcer. And he's got the greatest voice on the planet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We go back to the AWA. Lee's been one of my very, very, very best friends forever. Lee has had, hurt his back, you know, and here's a guy who was a huge bodybuilder back in the day. and back with Arnold and all those guys. So he had an unbelievable body at one time. But, you know, lifting all that really heavy, 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 heavy weight, he was a 500-plus bencher. And then as he got older, he got in a car accident and hit his lower back really bad. And that's when he started gaining the weight. And I tried to tell him, hey, man, you got to watch yourself, buddy. You're gaining too much weight, and it's going to be really hard on your body. And he's like, yeah, I know, but I can't work out. My knees are killing me. Today, he has two knee replacements, and he had ballooned up to 290 pounds. He started my workout because I've developed the YRG workout is set up at four different levels. The one in the book is really set up for 7 years old to anybody even that's in. I got a guy in their 70, okay, who can do it. But he's a guy who's been lifting and training his whole life. Actually, he's 71 right now, Ted Evans. He's my hero. He started at 66 and a half with me and my partner. For people who are overweight, I didn't really think about it at this time. The book was already being printed, so I came up with YRG plus 50. So on my new website, which will launch December 5th or December 4th, that's when a big campaign hits for this book. It's awesome. It is an awesome website. My buddy Rich in KC has done an unbelievable job. We've been brainstorming on this for like 6 months. But on that website in the YRG section, you can go to where it says 50 plus and show you how to modify the book. Now, if you just read it and you don't have the book, it means nothing. But if you've got the book and you read the 50 plus thing, I'll show you how you can do what Lee Marshall did, who lost 55 pounds in 5 months.
Wow. Wow. That's
awesome. And now is bouncing down the hallways at his radio station. I've been there 3 times. We're doing a big book signing in Ventura, California on the 17th. I've got 3 of his DJs on it. Another one's lost 14 pounds. And the other one I'm about to start is, I don't know if you guys remember John Cowsill from the Cowsills.
Sure.
Johnny's 325 pounds right now. And he actually, when I was up there, he picked me. He said, Dallas, please help me out, man. And I was like, hey, you just got to make the time, dude, because my schedule is limited, but you want to do it, you'd be a great case study. You know, so it's not yoga. Because yoga, you know, to me, is there's so many different kinds of it. It's just yoga-based. So that's why I say I train everybody. It's YRG.
Right. But, you know, Dallas, I think overall is that your system, as you get older, you modify it, ease up on some things, but that with diet. And of course, I think you're not an old man by any stretch of imagination, but I know I'm 15 years your senior, and you're talking about push-ups and stuff. I'm still doing dumbbells and push-ups and stuff, but proper diet and keeping the blood circulating, exercise. You don't have to be an athlete, don't have to be a wrestler, don't have to be anything. Just a human being is going to keep you healthier, keep your mind more alert, and keep you out of the doctor's office quite a bit.
Well, honestly, you know, a lot of people, you know, one of the main reasons I came up with this workout, too, and decided to put it in book form, which eventually will go to DVD, which I'm working on right now. A lot of people say, you know, I don't have any time to get to the gym. My comment is, you got 20 minutes? Well, of course I got 20 minutes. I said, well, then you got time. Because in the place that you could do, probably right where you're standing right now, move a chair out of the way and you can do it. You know? And yeah. I developed a 20-minute, show you how to make it 30, show you how to make it 45. And then I've got quick fixes, which I call hammer and duct tape. You know? You know,
right.
Hammers and duct tape will fix about anything. And we came up with ways, quick fixes that I came up with over a period of years, how to rehab my knees, how to rehab my shoulders. How to rehab my lower back. I mean, I've done them all. So, you know, a guy who started at 35 and a half years old, and, you know, I'm going to wrestle, you know, at the Crushers tribute on the 8th of this, the 8th, the 9th, the 9th of the December in Milwaukee. So, you know, I'm still out there. I'm not going to do it at the WWE level, you know, because that's really hard on your body with the travel and everything. But getting in there and, you know, having some fun, I can still do that.
Yeah. You got a movie
that's
coming
great.
Out, too, don't you?
I'm sorry?
You have a new movie coming out, right?
Actually, not coming out. I just finished. I did 5 movies, 6 movies this year.
Wow.
You're all independents, but you know what it's like? It's like being an independent wrestler, and all of a sudden you start getting a name. You know, I always think AJ Styles, you can't call him an independent wrestler anymore, but he was like, you know, the biggest, hottest name out there in the independent circuit. He was making like almost guys who would, you know, had been to the show and done real well big money, you know, because he was such a great entertainer. Independent movies, you know, there's three of them I have out of the six that I think may have a really good chance of seeing screen time, you know, as opposed to going direct to DVD. And one of them is the one I just, well, the other one was Snoop Dogg. It's called Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horrors. And that, I'm sure we're going to get a release on that. And I got to play the bodyguard and the two rappers. And it's horror movie. It's great, you know. And I love that stuff. And,
you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that if for anybody's listening that has not read your book, and then going on past the book to what we're talking about currently, is a lot of people feel blessed. Myself being one of those, to have lived one dream in their lifetime, and that is being a wrestler. You have managed clubs at the Jersey Shore in Florida. You have wrestled. You have done movies. You have written books. You have started charitable things for children, like what is the name of the reading thing?
Buying it out for books. And the only reason I haven't done it because I haven't been making any money where I could do something like that. But I actually am back to speaking starting in January. I start the corporate world, and it'll start right back up again. You know, and there's a charity that they're already using it, the first speaking gig I'm doing, and I'm speaking about living life at 90%. You know, the concept being life's 10% of what happens to you, 90% of how you react to it. I've got a lot of little funny bits in there, but I've got little wrestling bits in there, but it all comes down to living life in the positive, because especially out here in Hollywood, this is even harder than it is to become a wrestler. And I won't say today because there's two places to go. But back in your day, Les, when there was 40 places to go,
sure,
it was way easier to become a wrestler than it is an actor. Okay? Today, to be a wrestler and go after that dream, you know, unless you are all, you know, yoked up and, you know, the Eddie Guerrero's, God bless him, love Eddie, man. Something we have to talk about because I really didn't want to get into this until I started talking about him. But, you know, a guy like Eddie Guerrero today, coming up the way, at the weight he was, no one even looked at him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But but no one would have looked at him back then either. If you look back at it, nobody would, because everybody was huge in WWF. And then what? Eddie held that world title. Eddie did the impossible.
Sure.
And I got so much respect for Eddie Guerrero on so many different levels.
Well, you know, you and I both share friendships with, and you mentioned Pillman. And both of these guys overcome a lot of hurdles to follow their dreams and to do what they've done.
Well, and it's all about the continuation of that, you know, once you get there. And, you know, that's what, I mean, Pillman played in the NFL. he didn't play long, but he played.
Uh-huh.
You know, not many guys can say that, man. You know, there's a small handful of guys that can say that.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing, though. It's kind of like if you go back to the children's book, The Little Engine That Could.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, like Absolutely. You mentioned, the positive attitude, and that's that will. Again, when people told you at that late in life you won't be a professional wrestler, you proved them wrong. You won't be a top guy, you proved them wrong. And there's nothing more satisfying now, is there, Dallas, than to be able to, once you reach to climb the top of that mountain, to look back and say, wow, made the grade, right?
Yeah, and there's nothing more satisfying. You know, I have a program that I call Change the Meaning of the Word. And it stems from, if you remember that movie, A League of Their Own.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom Hanks and Gina Davis.
Sure. No crying in baseball.
Yeah, right. The thing that sticks out in my mind is when she's getting ready, her husband comes back from the war. And back then, women were, they were kept in the kitchen.
Sure.
You know, they weren't playing baseball. You know, and when the husband came back, you can just imagine the conversation that they had, because here she is in the World Series and she's leaving. Mm-hmm. She's about to live the dream that she couldn't even really, really realize is a dream. And next thing you know, she's leaving, and Tom Hanks catches her, you know, getting in the car with him, and he stops her, and he goes, what are you doing? We're going to be game tomorrow. It's the World Series. I mean, like, get to bed. And her husband looks over, he's getting in the car, you know, and, you know, he's lieutenant or whatever he is, and he's about to step into the car, and he looks at her, and she looks at him, and then he steps into the car, and she goes, I can't do it. He goes, what? She goes, it's baseball. She goes, it just got too hard. And he goes, it got too hard? He goes, what, are you kidding me? He goes, it's the hard that makes it great.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
That's what it's all about. I mean, if it was an easy trek, and I know, and I won't name anybody's name, but I know plenty of guys that were given their spots in professional wrestling.
Yep.
I never appreciated any of it.
Only 28?
I didn't say 28 guys. I said I won't mention any name.
Oh, okay. No, but you're right. I think that's, you know, we were saying today as we finished up this three-day camp to these kids, you know, you got to be your own worst critic. You also can end up being your own worst enemy. But
absolutely.
But you have to get up every day with a positive attitude thinking, man, I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. And whether you are or not, that's got to be your mindset.
Yep. And you can never, you know, stop learning. You know, that's the whole thing. I was very fortunate in so many ways to have had Dusty and, you know, and Jake and Jody and those guys to, you know, to literally, you know, guide me, you know, along the way, you know, that, you know, that's where I was fortunate. Relationships. A lot of people, you know, some people think it's kissing ass or whatever, you know, or who you know. And, you know, what I've learned in life, especially out here in Hollywood, it's not who you know. It's not who knows you. It's who's willing to say they know you.
Right.
That's a strong statement.
Yeah.
You know? And you better be able to back it up out here.
DDP, before we get out of here, can you answer a few questions from our chat room?
Absolutely.
Okay. Kick Me in the Heel wants to know, how was it working on Devil's Rejects?
Unbelievable, because Rob Zombie, who, by the way, wrote the foreword for Yoga for Regular Guys.
Yes, it was an entertaining one, too.
Oh, wasn't it great or what? It starts out, I'll just give you the first two lines. Yoga? Question mark. Give me a effing break. You can fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
You know, but Rob actually, how I met Rob and got to be good friends with him was being a fan of each other. And then we met each other, we ran into each other buying Christmas trees in Hollywood. And then a year later, we end up finally having that dinner. We keep saying we got to have dinner sometime. And he was coming up on his 40th birthday. And he really wanted to get in shape. And he knew that, you know, I'm pretty much timeless. And he started asking me questions. And I said, listen, man, I've developed this workout. I'm just starting it. You know, it's called Yoga for Regular Guys. He goes, yoga? I go, yeah, dude, you got to trust me on this. If you want to know what I'm doing, how I look like this, let me show you. So he goes, hey, I'll try anything. He goes, I'm looking at you, and I'll try it. So I used to go over his house because he lived right around the corner from me. I went there 3 days a week, you know, for about 4 months, and his body entirely changed, and it was great because people would say to him, and I wasn't calling it YRG yet. I was just calling it Yoga for Regular Guys, so I just called it yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And people would go, God, Rob, you look great. What are you doing? And he's like, wait a second, and set him up. He go, well, I'm doing yoga. It's coming out of Rob Zombie's mouth, right? And the people would look at him and go, oh, isn't that sweet? He'd wait that pregnant pause, and then he'd go, I'm doing it with Diamond Dallas Page. And he'd go, the wrestler? He goes, yeah, what you tell him that? The bottom line is, but the way I've constructed this, it's one of the greatest workouts you can do. Robbie loved it so much. While we're working, you know, doing the program and everything, he ends up learning it enough to be able to do it himself. And towards the end of us working out together, and he was getting ready to start shooting, he said, by the way, I wrote you a part in the movie. I said, really? He goes, I don't know if you want to handle this, you know, with your agent or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I said, hell no, let's talk about it. He goes, I got this great look for you, man. People are not even going to know it's you until you open your mouth. And then when we put the scar on my face and the hair, and he's looking at me, and we're at the offices, and he's like, "My God, I just realized who you look like." And I go, "Who's that?" He goes, "The Nail," which is a comic book that he has written. So I wrote the foreword for The Nail, his comic, five-mini-series comic book that he did with Steve Niles, and he wrote the foreword for, yeah, I knew I could never get him in a YRG pose. So, I mean, that was never happening. So I asked him to do that. He said, of course, and, you know, the foreword speaks. I mean, that's worth buying a book alone with a picture of me dressed like Billy Ray Snapper right next to him.
Yeah.
But working with Danny Trejo, four of the movies I did this year with Danny Trejo. One was the movie Nice Guys, where I just did a one-day shoot. I played a sleazy producer. The other one was, he's also in Hoods of Horror, Snoop Dogg's Hoods of Horror. And the other one, besides Devil's Rejects, is a movie that Danny and Gil Medina produced, and it's called Jack's Law. And Danny actually plays, it's like, what it is Death Wish Revisited.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny is Charles Bronson. And I am a character named Spider. He is a bad man. And there's a couple of really good scenes of me. And there's a great scene of me and Huggy Bear, Antonio Vargas, who gives me the information that I need in this bar. And it's classic. It's classic. So I just had a great time. One of my favorite actors is William Forsythe. And he's the lead in that, besides Bill Moseley, who I love, and Sherry Moon, and Sid Haig. Those guys are great.
Yeah.
We had so much fun. At my table, after the premiere, sitting at the table was me, my girl, Sid Haig, his girl, Bill Moseley, who is like a soccer dad. You know, the guy who played Otis, you know?
Right.
And William Forsythe, and the woman who played Mother Butterfly, who is just fabulous. We had such a great time.
EL wants to know, did you come up with the whole "that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing" gimmick in the WWE?
Yeah, that was actually by accident.
Really?
You know, it was just, I just said it one time when we were doing those little vignettes that we did. And it was literally by accident. And the smile was Vince's idea. And what's really funny is in this movie, Driftwood, the guy is he's an inspirational guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he runs a camp, like an attitude adjustment camp for kids. And he's an inspirational guy, but, you know, his name is Captain Doug Kennedy. And he's the kind of guy that to parents you would think he's the best. And he does these infomercials that are just, they're a little bit of that Positively Page character. And a lot of it, but mostly the captain, but just the smile. I don't do the complete over-the-top smile,
right,
but I do the one smile with the thumbs up, you know. And, man, that they pop in the trailer when I did that. So it was classic. There's a lot of points in that movie that I'm the character's charismatic, he's entertaining, and then you think, oh, God, he is so disturbed. You know, it was a great role, and there's some great young talent in that movie. Ricky Ullman from, I'm sure you guys don't know, but a lot of little girls, he's a teen heartthrob, Phil of the Future, that number one Disney show, he's my adversary, and the kid Talon from Laguna Beach, the reality show on MTV, he's the he's like my flunky, and there's a lot of other really young good talent. I'm really hoping that is the one, and Jack's Law, along with Hoods of Horror, that really opens stuff up.
Mm-hmm. One last question before we get out of here. Rubber Duck wants to know, will we see you back wrestling one last match? And if so, who would you want to face?
Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah.
There's no who, what, when, where. If I was going to do it, where I would put my body on the line for a kid who I think is very, 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 very talented. And a lot of people say, they'll say, man, what do you think about Orton doing a diamond cutter, man? You know, blah blah blah. I said, well, I called them up and said, Randy, I'd really like you to start doing the diamond cutter as soon as I knew I was going to retire. He was so respectful coming from his dad, who I loved. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up and then getting to be with on some independent shots and getting to actually know him. He was so respectful, and he was like, "No, Diamond, I can't do that. That's your move." I said, "Dude, I'm really retiring." At the time, I thought I was.
You know?
You know, but if it wasn't for YRG and how I've strengthened my back and my neck muscles, and you would not believe the flexibility I have in my neck that I had none of before. And if I was to continue wrestling at that point, well, then I'd be in big trouble. But if I was ever to do anything, it would be with Randy, and, you know, and it would be to have a good little feud with him, and he's a legend killer, so. You know, it is what it is, but, you know, if I was ever to have a choice on something, that would be it. I wouldn't do it any other way.
Yeah. The book is called Yoga for Regular Guys, the best damn workout on the planet.
Hey, by the way, let me interrupt you.
Sure.
The best damn sports show gave me a little bit of heat from that, took it off. So my next run of books, you want to get that book now because that's the only one that's going to say the best damn workout on the planet.
Because
it's being changed to the best friggin' workout on the planet.
Is that your story?
That's a true story. Rob Dibble's one of my closest friends.
Uh-huh.
We went to Iraq together.
Yeah.
You don't get any closer than that.
Right.
And, you know, they took me off the show. They love you on the show, but until I get that name off the book. So on the second go through of books, where it says the best friggin' book. So it's going to be a collector's. It's going to be a collector's piece. Those first 50,000 we put out there.
You're going to have to sign mine now.
Well, not a problem.
All right. Well, Diamond Dallas Page, I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been a very entertaining interview.
Page, continued success, and God bless you, my friend.
Hey, you guys too, man. Have a great night, and say a prayer for Eddie's family.
Will do.
Absolutely.
Check him out at DiamondDallasPage.com. And what's your new website going
to
be?
It's all, we'll always be DiamondDallasPage.com. There's so many ways to be able to get there from you, for regular guys to everything, but
mm-hmm.
The bottom line, Diamond Dallas Page, Dallas Page, whatever, that it's still DDP Bang. You know,
right.
I keep them all, you know, because I'm getting over 2 million hits a month. I'm not even on TV. I haven't even started this book tour yet.
Wow.
So once I start this, when that new site hits, it's going to explode. So, yeah, I'm really looking for 2006. I'm really excited about. I'm so excited about turning 50 and, you know, changing the way the world looks at the way they work out, but especially changing the way the world looks at yoga.
Mm-hmm. Guy, you know, you'll never look at yoga the same way, guys. Get the book.
See you guys. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, take it easy, babe.
ADP here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Les, we ran a little bit over, but that's okay because it was a great interview and it's been a good show.
I tell you, Paige has always got some good information. And truthfully, you know, the guy, when he says positive, Paige, he is. And he's accomplished a lot and started late to do it as far as wrestling and now authoring these books. And the guy is always in shape. There's no two ways about it. Yeah, it's I'm looking forward to seeing that book. Doc, maybe you can get in shape too, you think?
I could use it.
I heard that.
I'll tell you that.
Who we got next week?
Gabe Sapolsky's going to be our special guest next week. He is the owner of Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and the booker, writer, whatever you want to call it.
He wears a lot of hats over there.
Yeah, he really does. Great guy.
All right, we're going to cut out of here, guys. We'll see you guys next week, Sunday from 6 to 8 Eastern, here for Wrestling Weekly for Les Thatcher. I'm Doc Young. I got plugs to do real quick. Check out what Les is up to every week at lesthatcher.com, at epwt.com. Thanks to Wrestle Talk Radio for their help this week. Also, don't forget to check out obsessedwithwrestling.com for all your wrestling needs. We'll see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.